Glory to his name. Hallelujah. We give God praise tonight. We thank God for Wednesday. We thank God for midweek service in the mighty name of Jesus. This is God's day that he has made. We are absolutely rejoicing and we are glad in it. Hallelujah. The word says he writes to his son Timothy as he mentored him in the faith. Study to show yourselves approved, rightly dividing God's word of truth. God's word will not come back void, but it will accomplish what he sent it to do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let us pray before we go into the word tonight. We thank God for you. We thank God for those that would tune in and call in tonight. Even those that would listen to the recording, we believe by faith that the word will bless us, that the word will encourage us and strengthen us, that God's word, amen, will do what he sent it to do. So we thank God for the opportunity to get into the word of God and exegete the scripture and look, amen, at the word of God and prayerfully and knowingly that it will bear fruit in due season. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in your son Jesus' name, we thank you for Word Wednesday. We thank you, Lord, that in the beginning was the word was God, and the word was with God. You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You said, hallelujah, to Joshua, meditate on the word day and night, and you will have good success. And finally, you said in the first Psalm, if we meditate on his word day and night, we will bear much fruit. So many times, God, our obedience to your word is directly connected to blessings. So help us, God. Strengthen us. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and your word remains the same. So we thank you for the opportunity to study your word and not just be hearers, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That blessed me right there when I said it, just becoming more of a doer of the word of God than just a hearer of the word of God. To God be the glory. So we thank God for the opportunity to grow, for the opportunity to put the devil up under our feet. We can defeat him every time. Just like Jesus defeated the devil in the wilderness, every time he comes for us, every time he comes after us, we can put the word on it, and we will win every single time. Amen, somebody. So you always have the weapon of the word, and that's why it's wonderful, those of you who have a hunger and thirst for God's word, to study the Bible, memorize some scriptures, get them into your mind and your thoughts, amen, where you can rehearse and just quote some scriptures in your time of need. So we're going to start in Galatians chapter number 6. Tonight I'm talking to, from this topic and from this thought, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. That's what we're talking about tonight. Hallelujah. And as you look in Galatians, that's kind of what this scripture is talking about. Paul is writing to the church of Galatians. And you know, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit in the previous chapter. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and faith, and temperance, self-control. Amen, somebody. Discipline. And Paul is writing, saying that we're led by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And he also writes in this particular book how the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to another. They war against each other. So when you want to do the right thing, when you have a desire to serve and please God, there are times where the enemy will try to rise up, even in our flesh. There are times where he'll work through somebody to get us in a spirit of anger, get us in a spirit of unforgiveness, get us in a spirit of unbelief. And then the enemy knows those are the things that try to block our blessings. But Paul writes some powerful truths right here as we begin to study tonight in Galatians chapter 6. So you and I can avoid pitfalls like that try to come and get us back in the flesh and get us back into the world way of doing things. Because if you are a Christian, you're right now in the kingdom of God. Amen, somebody. If you are a Christian, we went from the kingdom of the devil, from the kingdom of this world. Now we are citizens of the kingdom of God. So we have to learn how to do things God's way. And I thank God, as he's writing to this church, you and I can relate to what he's saying right here in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, unless you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We talked a little bit about that Sunday, how we need each other. Verse number 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. This is the verses I want to get to, verse 7 and 8 mainly. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. For he that sow to his flesh shall also reap corruption. But he that sow to the Spirit, which we are doing tonight, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us, the best is yet to come, please hear verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, glory be to God, we shall reap if we faint not. He didn't say we might get it. He didn't say it's a possibility, there's a high chance. He said, we will reap if we don't quit, if we don't give up, if we are determined to move forward by faith. He said, there's a due time. There's a set appointed time. There is a kairos moment. There is a time that God has allotted for you and I to get what he has promised us. So if we remain faithful, if we remain true, if we remain steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, set our eyes and our minds like a flint and stay focused with our faith, he said we will reap a harvest, not a little bit. He said, but a harvest if we faint not. So I thank God that you and I have something to look forward to. It doesn't matter where we are today. It may be preparation season for you. It may be God is processing you. It may be that God is pruning and purging you. God may be preparing you. And sometimes we look at what's going on in our lives and the devil won't give us a break. And so many people are against us. And it looks like when we look like we're gaining, then all of a sudden it looks like the bottom falls out again. But that ain't nothing but the devil who wanted to get back in the flesh and in the natural. But when you know in your mind that your best days are the rest of your days, glory be to God. When you know that the best, with my wife, this is definitely the best relationship I've ever been in. Come on, glory be to God. I'm talking about with Pastor Rebecca, my wife now of 22 years, this is the best relationship by far I have ever been in. Now, truth was to be told, I've been in other relationships, but this is the best relationship I've ever been in. So the best was yet to come in my former years. Are y'all hearing God tonight? You have something to look forward to if you don't have your best yet. Amen. If your best have not come yet, don't quit. Don't go back to what God has brought you out of. The key is to move forward. That's what Paul is saying. Keep sowing to the Spirit. Keep sowing seed to the Spirit, because your seeds which are in the ground, they will grow. Your seeds that you have sown, they will produce. Amen, somebody. So we got to keep giving. We got to keep sowing. We got to keep sending prayers up to God. We got to keep coming to church. We got to keep tithing. We have to keep serving God. We have to remain faithful. We have to be obedient to his word. We got to keep believing and trusting God and walking by faith and not by sight. because the best is yet to come, but there's a condition that we got to do on our part. You know, I thought about God's love today, and I want to look at that scripture, but I want to bring out a few more points here from Galatians, and then we're going to look at Matthew chapter 15, where Jesus talks about the conditions of people's heart. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're going to talk about the heart in just a little bit, because it's all about the heart. Bible, God told Samuel, man judges the outward, but I look at the heart. And God is looking at our heart. But here in Galatians, it said, bear one another burdens, share good things that with those that teach you the word of God, with those that share the word of God and break the bread of the word. It says, bear one another burdens. It says, if somebody has fell, if somebody has fallen, if somebody has messed up, those of you who are spiritual. Now, please hear what he said. If you're not that spiritual, he's saying sometimes there's some situations beyond us handling it where we're not equipped and we're not prepared to go in and rescue everybody, because God is still getting some of us to the place where we can be strong enough to then go back and help somebody else. But we have to be discerning and wise and spiritual enough to say, listen, okay, I can handle that, but I can't handle that. Amen, somebody. There's some times where we want to go in and rescue people. There's some times where we think we have the right words and counsel, and sometimes we don't know, but because of our pride or because we think we know, sometimes we can mislead somebody. But God is saying, when you're spiritual, meaning when you rely on the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom, when you rely on the wisdom of God to outweigh your wisdom, when you submit yourself and surrender yourself to the mind of God, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we can't help people, but he's talking about somebody who has fallen into great sin, somebody who has really messed up, somebody who is really down. He said, you who which are spiritual, restore such a one. That means you're going to pray them through. That means you're going to counsel them through the word of God. That means, amen, you're going to encourage their heart to get back in the fight and get back, amen, to your place in God. Get back to your first love. But he says, when we sow to the flesh, we will always reap corruption. My God. I mean, when he brought me out of those clubs, delivered from drinking and drugging and different things, lying, deceiving spirits, he brings you out of the things that used to control you, the things that used to govern your thoughts and your day, the things that used to bring you more destruction than construction. I'm going to say that again. There are some things that can bring us more destruction than construction. God wants to construct, meaning build, but the devil wants to destroy, meaning destruction. And there are some things that God wants to get to us and get through to us. And we, once we get it in our minds that the best is yet to come, we begin to take the necessary steps to get that done. And one of those steps is to really give our heart to God. Look at Matthew chapter number 15. There are so many, and I've seen it as a pastor, I've seen it as a believer, even me sometimes, you know, I miss it. I miss it like everybody else miss it. And I try to get back to the place where God helped me. God just helped me. So when people say God knows my heart, and sometimes he do know your heart, because some people really are trying. I need to say that again. I said some people really are giving it their best. We can look at our children. Sometimes we know they're better than what they're producing. We know they have great potential and possibilities. We can look at our spouses and our friends, some family members. We know they have great potential, but it looks like they just can't get their act together. And I'm here to tell you, some people are really, really trying as it relates to their capacity to do better. And we got to know, God created that person. God wired that person. We don't know that person's experiences, why they think the way they do, why they act the way they act, what happened over the course of their life. We really don't know what makes people tick, but God knows. That's why we got to get people to Jesus. We got to lead people to the Christ that saved us. Come on, somebody. We act like sometimes we the answer or we got the answer. No, it is God. Even as I'm talking right now, this was not me 25 years ago. This is all God. This is Him, not me. This was not on my radar at all, teaching and preaching and prophesying the word of God. This was not in my plans. Me and my friends made a pact to get a car, get an apartment, have a middle-class income, and live a fun, happy life. It was very basic, very simple, and, you know, let's just be happy and successful. But God had another plan. Glory be to God. So we have to know it's all about the heart. Sometimes, you know, some people, you don't see them totally submitting to God, totally surrendering to God. And I said it on Sunday when my daughter sings that song, I Surrender All. I surrender all to you. And it's easier said than done to surrender all. Sometimes we surrender 50%. Sometimes we give them 30%. Sometimes some of us give them maybe 80%. But God, I surrender all. And we got to be truthful tonight. The best is yet to come. And God knows, amen, sometimes it's a struggle. But listen to what he says here in Matthew 25. Look at verse number, it's Matthew 15. Matthew 15. That's the one I was going to go to at first, but Matthew 15, verse number 8. That's why the more we come to church, the more we hear the word of God. When my heart wasn't right, when my heart was cold, and when my heart was unforgiving, when I had anger in my heart, I used to press my way to church as a new baby Christian. I ain't had nobody in the car with me but me. There was nobody motivating me to go but me. And I know it wasn't me saying go to the church instead of the club. It was the Spirit of God leading me in a whole nother direction. So God did that. And God wants to lead you to greener pastures. Amen? But now he has my heart. But I remember in those years, in those earlier months, how I tried to give my heart to God. And it came through teaching of Bishop Hilliard, Pastor Glover Williams, Patricia Wilson, Minister Brown, Minister Robinson, all those preachers that told me about the beauty of the exchange. If I give up this for this, then great things would begin to happen. And I believed the word of God back then. And I'm just saying on the line tonight, when we try to trust God that the best is yet to come, God will begin to do some wonderful things in our lives. Matthew 15, verse number 8. This people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines and the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which go into the mouth defile a man, but that which come out of the mouth, this is what defiles a man. I've never been a big cursor, but if you have trouble, you know, with words that were, you know, curse words, try to restrain that. Try to handle that. Try to tame your tongue not to curse, because the Bible says what comes out of our mouth makes us worse. You know, some people say, I don't eat pork, I don't eat hog, I don't eat meats, I don't eat certain things. And Jesus is saying, it's not necessarily what you're consuming, but it's what you're saying. Oh, glory be to God. The more we hear preaching, the more we hear teaching, the more we read scripture, the more greater opportunity we have to let those words come out of our mouth. And the more training we give our minds as far as the word of God, we can condition ourselves for really the best coming into our lives. So when he said, these people are serving me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me, I know I'm not talking to nobody like that on the line tonight, but sometimes when you see people saying one thing and doing something else, you see people with good intentions, but it looks like they just can't follow through. sometimes God don't have their heart. And that's what God wants. He wants our heart. You know, my wife has my heart. She don't have to beg me to go to work. She has my heart. I willfully go out there to pay this mortgage. I willfully go out there to try to provide for my family. She don't have to beg and plead with me to do the right thing for the family. I do it because I love her, because she has my heart. And the same thing with her. She takes care of the home. She nurtures the family. She takes care of the church. She takes care of her husband. She takes care of the children. She takes care of the needs. She makes the money. She does things that make our family better, because guess what? She has my heart. I have her heart. So we don't have to beg and plead for her to come home at night. I ain't got to beg and plead for her to respect me and for her to, amen, be respectful to me and to do the right things by me, because we have each other's heart. And when God has our heart, he don't have to beg us to come to church. He don't have to beg us to give. He don't have to beg us to serve, because guess what? Now he has our heart, and we want to please him. We want to do the right thing. We want to say, God, you know, I want to be stronger. I want to be better. Help me. And God is saying, yes, now we can work. Now we can do some things, because now you have given me your heart. Amen. To God be the glory. We're going to look at some more scriptures talking about the best is yet to come. And I was thinking about this as I was talking about my word on Sunday, new beginnings. I grew up in a mother, you know, my mother was superstitious, but she believed the word of God. She had a Bible, but she has certain superstition beliefs. And even some people growing up in my neighborhood, I used to hear lucky number seven, or the number seven is lucky. And now that where I see the world got that theory from, and I see where the world got that premise from, I say there's nothing lucky about the number seven. There's no luck involved in the things of God. The Bible says God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. I'm not going to go into Genesis, but it's in my notes, and I read it today. It said on the seventh day, he rested and hallowed it and made it holy. And that's why the number eight is the number of new beginnings, because there was new creation. That's one reason why we use the number eight as the number of new beginnings, because 7 days God created all of this. And then on that eighth day, amen, there was creation now being birthed, something new being birthed. We see in the life of Naaman, who was a leper. Leprosy was a death sentence. But he went to the man of God, and the man of God said, dip seven times in the muddy Jordan. And the Bible says he went and obeyed the man of God, and he dipped in the muddy Jordan seven times. And his skin, after the seventh dip, the Bible says he came up cleaned of his leprosy, and his skin was so clean like a baby skin, like a fresh new skin was on his bones. The number of seven completed his healing. We see the number seven also at the wall of Jericho. They went around the wall six times, and on the seventh time, they shouted, and the Bible says the wall of Jericho collapsed and came down, and it fell, because seven is the number of completion. And there's nothing lucky about the number seven. There's nothing superstition about the number seven. Seven, in Bible terms, is the number of completion. And I want to look at this one, where we also see the number seven as it relates to prayer, 1 Kings chapter number 18. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Kings chapter number 18. There's a three-year famine. For 3 years it did not rain. Elijah prayed, and God shut up the heaven for 3 years. Not a drop of rain fell from the sky. Now look at 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 41. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to look at it. Let me see if I can find it here. I really want to read it in the NIV version of the Bible. which I read both translations today, and I so like the way the NIV said it more than the King James. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 41. Amen, yes. But let me see. There was a great famine. For 3 years it did not rain. Elijah prayed, and God shut up the heavens. Now in 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 41, let's see what happens. And Elijah said to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There is nothing there, he said. 7 times Elijah said, go back. The 7th time the servant reported, oh my God, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on Ahab, and he rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. My God, the best is yet to come. This is why Pastor and I, Tuesday night, we're praying. Even I started the lesson tonight by praying. Many times we have altar calls at New Creation Church because we believe in the power of prayer. The man of God said, pray and go see what God is doing. He said, God is not doing anything. I don't see anything happening. We still got 3 years of dryness. He said, go back a second time and look. I don't see absolutely nothing. Nothing is growing. Everything's exactly the same. It's dead. It's dry. Nothing is happening. Nothing is moving. Nothing is growing. He said, go back a third time. He came back a third time. How many times are we going to do this? It is nothing happening. God ain't changing nothing. Maybe he don't hear you. He went back 4 and 5 times. Glory be to God. And he still saw nothing. He went back the 6th time. And he still said, oh, I'm coming back again. I hope the man of God don't send me again. But we talked about the number 7 being completed. Hallelujah. Who is that for on tonight? You've been praying. I don't know if it's been 7 years. Hallelujah. 7 years is a big turning point in my marriage. Glory be to God. I don't know who that's for, but maybe you've been waiting for 7 years. Maybe you've been waiting for 7 months. Maybe you've been waiting for 7 weeks. Maybe it's been even 7 days. Hallelujah. Go get your blessing. Go get your breakthrough. I don't care if it's been 7 minutes. Hallelujah. 7 hours. Glory be to God. Whatever God needs you to do, wait on the Lord, and God will do it. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I was in that hospital. It didn't happen overnight. Woke up from surgery, was so disappointed because it didn't go the way the doctor told me it would go. Things happen, church. Things happen, people of God. But God is able. Glory be to God. God will do the impossible. Even when it goes bad, God is there. Even when it's going in the opposite direction, God is there. Even when you wake up disappointed, God is there. And my wife will tell you, I was at a very low state, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, but God was there. And maybe you're in a hard place tonight. Maybe you're in a hardship. Maybe you're in a hard situation. Maybe life really has been getting the best of you these days. But when you believe that the best is yet to come, that's your, I pray that give you enough to hang in there. I pray that sometimes I heard Steve Harvey and Joel Osteen, and I think it was T.D. Jakes, they said sometimes all you have is hope. They said sometimes all we have is hope. Don't have no money, don't have no relationship, don't have a place of our own, don't have an automobile. Sometimes we don't have a job, but if you got hope, oh, glory be to God. If you keep your hope alive, Jesse Jackson had it right. That was his campaign when he ran for president. Keep hope alive. My God. Pastor Anthony, that sounds easier said than done. I know it's not easy. I know walking by faith is not easy. Guess what? I'm a Christian in 2019 just like you. I'm believing God, and sometimes I get low. Sometimes I get a little down on energy. Sometimes I get a little drained by life, but I try to get myself back. Amen. Glory be to God. We all have the ability to bounce back. We all have that resilience. We all have that determination. You know, my wife's publishing company is Diligent Publishing. And I remember she birthed the name Diligent. I said, why do you call it Diligence? Because she wanted to be diligent, determined. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And many, many, many books have been birthed through that publishing company. Because she was diligent. And it's Diligence Publishing. Like, I ain't going to quit. I'm not going away. And many authors came to her. They're still coming to her. And they may come down the road. She has published many books. She has published my book. Because it was Diligent Publishing Company. Amen, somebody. And we got to be so determined. We got to be so tuned into what God is doing and what God is saying. Because the best is yet to come, but we got to be around to receive it. Amen? To God be the glory. We got to be around to receive it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But seven times, there's nothing lucky about the number seven. It's just the number of completion, as the Bible just stated. To God be the glory. Look at 2 Kings. If you're still in Kings, look at 2 Kings chapter number 13. Determination. You got to be so determined to even be a disciple in today's world. Because the devil is busy. The devil don't want us to go to church. He don't want us to serve the church. He don't want us to be the church. He don't want us to believe in the church. He don't want us to believe in God. But God has already went way ahead of the devil. And before the foundations of this world, he chose you and he chose me in him. My God. I'm gonna put it another way that you can understand it. We win. Glory be to God. I'm gonna put it another way. We already have the victory. My God. The fight is fixed. We already won. The game is fixed. Glory be to God. The best is yet to come, but because he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, we got to know that he determined the end at the beginning. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And the Bible says, glory be to God, God has already given us the victory. But look at here how we still have to be so determined. We still have to be so determined to get to our destiny. That's why our desire and our dreams, our destinies, we can't let the devil come in and destroy our dreams. Some of us have had great desires, and we had a stronger desire and passion before. And through life, in the course of life, it got a little weak. And God is saying, get that great desire back. Start dreaming again. Start believing God big again. Some of us used to dream and want big. I'm talking to myself. We wanted bigger. We wanted better. And somehow, some way, we lost some of that along the way. And God is saying, get it back. Get it back. Fight to get it back. But look at what's going on here and 2 Kings chapter number 13, verse number 14. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse number 14. Now, Elisha was suffering from the illness from which he died. The great man Elisha, he's about to die from this illness. He's about to go to be with the Lord, and he's real sick at this stage. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to him and cried over him, my father, and he cried. The chariots and the horsemen of Israel. Verse number 15, Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands. He said to the king of Israel, when he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot. Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of the victory over Aram. That was a prophetic word from the man of God as his arrow was shot out of the window. Elisha declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans at Ephek. When he shot that victory arrow, the prophetic word from the prophet of God said, you will completely destroy this enemy that's trying to destroy you. Now look at verse number 18. Then he said, take the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram completely. But now you will defeat it only three times. Elisha died and was buried. Pastor, what just happened there? The prophetic word said he would completely destroy the enemy, and then he didn't follow through, and he said the complete mission won't be completed now. That's what God is saying. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. Glory be to God. You got a prophetic word over your life maybe years ago, maybe a long time ago, but today you still have to believe to the same degree that you believed when it was prophesied back then. Sometimes we had excitement, more excitement than we got today. But God promises and God prophecy will come to pass in your life. The best is yet to come. He said you should have struck the arrow on the ground more than three times, five times, six times, maybe seven. You knew the number of completion was seven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he told this king, I'm angry with you because I'm about to die and I can't prophesy no more. I'm not going to be God's mouthpiece anymore. My season on this earth is over, and now God has left the torch to you guys, but you got to be determined like I was determined. I was determined like the great man that meant to me, Elijah, was determined. And that's what we're saying when we see Billy Grahams and Zig Ziglars and the people that went on before us, when we see Mother Teresa and Bishop Tutu, we see so many great men and women of God, hallelujah, going on before the Lord that paved the way, Dr. Martin Luther King, hallelujah, so many that have gone on before us, and they opened the door that no man can shut. Now they're looking down on this generation saying, y'all got so much more. And sometimes Bishop Hill used to say, we're doing so much less. And God is saying that's not an indictment. That's not to make you feel bad, but it's making us say, let us seize the moment. Even at New Creation Church, collectively, the membership that we got there right now, we can impact Hillside, New Jersey, Union, Elizabeth. We can do great things with the remnant we got right now in our local church. And sometimes the enemy try to talk us out of it. Sometimes the enemy try to get us distracted. Sometimes the enemy want to put us back in fear instead of keeping us in faith. But when we know the best is yet to come, I'm speaking prophetically right now for New Creation Church. Pastor, the best is yet to come. More families are coming. More money is coming. More members are coming. More opportunities are coming. More scholarships are coming. More outreach is coming. More, hallelujah, ministry is coming. More, glory be to God, love is coming. There is more godliness, more ministry, more breakthroughs, more miracles, more favor, more grace coming to New Creation Christian Ministries. I decree and I declare it, and it is so. It shall be established in Jesus' name. Our church is in a good place. Our church has been around for 12 years, and God has been blessing us, and God is blessing us right now. He blessed us the first 12 years, and he's going to bless us the next 12. Glory be to God. He's going to bless us the next 12 years, devil, because you're a liar, and the truth ain't in you. Every married couple on here, God is going to bless your marriage. The best is yet to come. Every struggling person on here trying to get your career off the ground, the best is yet to come. Everyone trying to go back to college and get that degree, the best is yet to come. That one looking for a better place to live, a better community to reside in, that one looking for a better job, the best is yet to come. Sickness in your body, your better body is coming. A better body without all that sickness, with all that pain, without all that disease, without all that aches and pains and stuff going wrong, you're going to one day wake up and be like, I ain't got no pain. Glory be to God. Wake up with a new body. God going to give you a miracle. So I thank God that our ladder will be greater. I thank God that our best days are the rest of our days. So when we're talking about the best is yet to come, hallelujah. Let's look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. A new beginning. Sometimes that's what just some of us really needed. I never forget, I told you, you know, when I started the word on Sunday, there were seasons in my life where God took me to better jobs. God took me to better opportunities. God shifted me into different things that made me grow and made me just a better person, a better man. And I love when he gives us new beginnings and new opportunities and new doors. And that's God's way. See, the devil wants to stay stuck. The devil don't want you to change. That's why, oh my God, I'm getting ahead of the scripture. Let me read the scripture first and then make my thoughts from the scripture. Because the devil wants us to dwell on the past. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. Let me read the scripture, then I'm going to share my thoughts. Isaiah 43, verse number 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the river, it shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Look at verse number 18. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give water to the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen people. Verse number 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Last week we talked about praise. I'm going to talk about the previous scriptures in a minute. But right now, let's just praise them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God, we give you praise. It's a weapon. It's a command. It is a choice. We choose to praise God. He said, if we don't praise him, the rocks will praise him. If we don't praise him, the trees will cry out. And I thank God that we can praise him from the depths of our soul. Lord, we love you. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we magnify you. Lord, we need you. Lord, hallelujah, help us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we cry out to you. We shout glory. We say hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? So he said, I formed you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knew who would praise him in 2019. He knew Pastor Rebecca would be a praiser. He knew Deacon Carmen Collar would be a praiser. He knew Pastor Jamal would be a praiser. He knew, hallelujah, Barbara and Sister Rita would be a praiser. He knew all those looking his way would be a praiser. He knew everybody calling tonight, all those that were listening to the recording. He knew Pastor Anthony would be a praiser and a worshiper. Before the foundations of the world, I created you to praise me. That's why he said, forget the former things. Forget the fake people that hurt you. Forget the former things, your failures and your mistakes and your mishaps. Forget the former things and don't dwell on the past. Don't rehearse or recall bad things that happened to you. Don't remember the suffering and the painful seasons in your life. Forget the former things. Forget the things of old. Move on to your best days. Move on to your latter years. Put that past in the past and move on to brighter days, brighter pastures. Become optimistic. Become a positive thinking person. There's so many negative people in our world. There's so many pessimistic people in the world. There are so many people that look at the glass as half empty than half full. And God says, no, I need you to put your mind on the things above. Because he said, when you go through the fire, I'm going to be there with you. When you go through the flood, you will not drown. So when you and I go through, know that you're going to come out. And when he brings you out, he's going to bring you out better than how you went in. That's the God that we serve. I look at sometimes my mindset. Even when things go bad for me, I look at the word of God and I pray, and God does something to my spirit, man. This is why when those of you who come on Wednesday night, know that that's why I started with Galatians chapter number 6. Know that you're sowing to your spirit. So your spirit is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Sister Rita said it last night, how she don't understand the peace in which she was walking in and operating in, and sometimes in the natural, there's good reason not to have so much peace. She can't explain it, but her spirit is stronger. And our spirit is stronger when we hear the word of God, when we hear teaching and sound doctrine. Our spirit, man, gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And then when the enemy comes in like a flood, that's the standard that God raises up, your spirit, because the Holy Spirit will not let you go under. The Holy Spirit will not let you go down. So God has a way of keeping us when we can't keep ourselves. Glory be to God. I'm gonna look at, somebody talked about it last night. But during my stay in Morristown Medical Center, when it was really going bad for a while, God gave me instruction. And I'm so glad I heard him, even in the midst of pain and everything else. But he told me specifically to read Psalm 91 every day that I was going to be in that hospital. He said, read Psalm 91 every day. And every day when I woke up, not like I got much sleep in the hospital. If anybody's ever been in the hospital, you don't get much sleep at all. It's a very light sleep, an hour here, an hour there, 2 hours here, 2 hours there. But you really don't get a sound night's sleep. But he said, when you wake up, read Psalm 91. And I'm going to read this tonight before we go off. But God promises you and I. That's why I talk about superstition or salvation. Superstition is not going to get it done, but salvation will get it done. There are so many benefits to salvation: healing, deliverance, money, protection, safety, restoration, recovery, renewing. There's so many things that goes on that accompanies our salvation. Breakthrough, favor, grace, mercy, miracles. There's so much that involves salvation. That's why the enemy tries so hard to get us out of church and get us out of position, get us out of the will of God, get us to backslide, get us to go back, get us to sin, get us to disobey God. Because he knows if we stay in position, if we stay put, if we stay planted, stay planted where the Lord has planted you, stay planted there. I'm going to say that to even New Creation Christian Ministries members. Stay planted in church. Try your best to stay planted where God has planted you so you can grow and produce much fruit. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless your marriage. He wants to bless your money. He wants to bless your business. But sometimes when we uproot the plant, when we uproot and pull the roots up out of the ground, sometimes the enemy gets the best of us, because guess what? Now we can't do what God wanted us to do. So we got to stay planted. We got to stay rooted. We got to stay grounded. And we have to stay in position. Psalm number 91, verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me, that's the protection, with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fly by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Verse number 7, here is part of the promises of God. 1,000 shall fall at your side. 10,000 shall fall at your right hand. Here's a promise, but it shall not come near you. Glory be to God. I received that for myself, and I pray that you receive it. When you see people falling and going down, glory be to God. God got you. Verse number 8, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you, speaking to you tonight, you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Verse number 14, because he has set his love upon me. We talked about the heart. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him and her in trouble and I will deliver them and I will honor them. with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's why I talked about salvation. Protection and safety is in salvation. God says, because you love him, I'm going to protect you. Because you honor me, I'm going to honor you. Because you give to me, I'm going to give to you. Because you serve me, I'm going to serve you. Because you watch out for me, I'm going to watch out for you. Glory be to God. I will satisfy you with long life. You see why he told me to read this every day in the hospital? This is a promise from God. I made it personal. When I couldn't eat food for a while, and I had an IV tube in my arm, and I could not eat solid food at all for days, and I was weak in my body. I mean weak. And I will force myself to read this scripture. And that thing got in my spirit. And my roommate, I used to get around and walk and pace the floor, speak in tongues and speak in my heavenly language. And he'd be behind the curtain. I hear him shifting, and I didn't care. Glory be to God. I wanted my breakthrough. I wanted my deliverance. I said, my natural mind tried to say, this guy's going to think you're a fool or a spiritual religious nut over there. I did not care. I began to pray in tongues and walk on that cold hospital floor, and I felt my help coming from the Lord. My strength got renewed. I knew my best days were ahead of me, and my worst days was behind me. Come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus, your best is yet to come. In my low moment, I knew it would get better. And now that I'm out here, no IV in my arm, I can do my FedEx job. I do 100 stops a day. Glory be to God. I'm back making my salary. I'm back at work. I'm providing for my family. Glory be to God. God did it. God did it. God did it. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter how low you've gone. It doesn't matter how hard it is. Even as we go off the air tonight, read Psalm 91 again. Get that thing in your spirit. If we abide in that secret place, if we stay in the shelter of the Most High God, you see why the enemy tries so hard to get you and I out of position? Get us out of church. Get us out of the will of God. Because he knows if we stay there, we'll always be successful. We will always be saved. We'll always be protected. We will always be provided for. We will always prosper if we stay in position. So the enemy fights us. He tries to deceive us. He tries to trick us to come out. And he told, even throughout our Bible, where's your God? If God was for you, why did that happen to you? And God is saying to us tonight, please hear the man of God, that the best is yet to come. Father, in your son Jesus' name, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, that we believe by faith the best is yet to come for us personally. The best is yet to come for New Creation Christian Ministries Church. The best is yet to come for that one who is struggling. The best is yet to come for that one who is hurting. The best is yet to come for even that one who is doing good. Because as hard as it is to believe, there are some people that are doing okay. Everybody's not struggling. Everybody is not failing. Everybody is not in pain. Everybody is not losing. Some people are doing okay. And even for that one, it can get better. Glory be to God. So we thank you, Lord, for the word tonight. We bless your name. And we thank you for the people. So, Lord, watch over them in Jesus' name. We will have service on Sunday, 12:30 sharp, 1482 Maple Avenue in the city of Hillside, New Jersey. It's going to be a powerful service. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. So if you're in this New Jersey area, put somebody in your car with you. Try to bring somebody to church on Sunday because we got a word from the Lord for you. And I thank you. those of you that give. We thank God for all of you that give. We're not going to start naming names, but some of you love this ministry. You love this church. Every dollar, every hundred, every thousand, whatever you sow into new creation, trust me, it's going for the good and the building of God's kingdom. And we thank you for it. So if you can keep sowing $20, $50, $10, whatever you can give on a regular basis or even a one-time giving, we thank God for it because it helped keep the doors of the church open. It helped us do the ministry needs. It helped us meet the needs of God's people. So we thank you in advance for your faithful giving into our church. So we thank God for you. Amen. To God be the glory. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Remember, the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen.